The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
With memories of Kobe Bryant on this, I cannot believe it's been, I can't believe it's been a year. It's the longest year ever. But still, the fact that here we are on the first anniversary of Kobe Bryant's passing is surreal. You have memories of Kobe? You don't have to be personal interactions. It could be watching him on TV or at a game or something you've thought about or what he meant to you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. By the way, at the end of the last segment, I told you what Brett Favre said about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has now made a statement about his future in Green Bay. Going to get that to that in a second. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, in that tragic helicopter crash, there were 9 people total. I said Kobe and Gianna, his daughter, who he was crazy about. If you said hello to Kobe Bryant, he would give you a story about Gianna. I even was, when it happened, the day it happened, and the next day, and then a couple days later, I was going through old texts and found one from Kobe that was, like, not meant for me. You know, like, he must have texted me before and then thought he was texting Vanessa, I guess, because it was like, hey, I'm going to stop, like, let's watch this. It was like family movie night. I'll get the popcorn. I forgot what it was. I have to go back in my text now. But it was, dude was just a family guy. Loved his family. And loved his daughter, Gianna. It was Kobe, Gianna, 6 family friends. I said 6 other people, plus the pilot. It's 7 other people, 9 altogether. Anyway, so you want to call up with memories of Kobe. We're talking about him today. And by the way, I really think it's breaking news what Aaron Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show today. So we're going to get to that in a little bit. But first, LeBron torched the Cavs last night. And, you know, first trip back to Cleveland, put up 46, 8-6 in a win, scored 21 of the 46 in the fourth quarter, shot a 7 of 11 from three-point range, and won. LeBron is the latest in a line of, in the greatest franchise in the history of worldwide basketball, the Los Angeles Lakers, is the latest custodian, along with Jeannie Buss, really, of Lakers greatness. And a man who has seen many of them and called many of their biggest moments, the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers, John Ireland, ladies and gentlemen, play-by-play voice, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, John? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, Max, anytime. Hey, that LeBron guy's pretty good at basketball, isn't he?
He's fair. I think he might pan out, actually.
You know, I heard you talking about Kobe, and, yeah. You know, out here we're being careful because we want to respect the wishes of the family who does not want this to be a sad day. Mm-hmm. They want, you know, any discussion and any memories of Kobe to be positive and of Gigi to make you smile. Sure. Boy, didn't that remind you last night? Watching LeBron go 11 for 12 in the fourth quarter and basically taking over the game by himself. Didn't that remind you of number 24?
The thing about Kobe, John, that strikes me, and then we can get into the game and everything, the Mamba mentality is, you know, people think of it as, oh, you're crunch time killer. Oh, you step on their throats when you have a boxing trainer once said this. He talked about Holyfield and Tyson. And he said Holyfield would have always beaten Tyson because, and he kisses his biceps. He goes to his biceps. Holyfield loved himself. Like, there's something about the guy who knows he deserves it or believes he deserves it that can come through in the clutch. The Mamba mentality is knowing that and feeling that because you know you put in the work. And not just the work, like, went through the motions, but with intensity. That's the Mamba mentality. And Kobe was, like, when I think of Kobe, that's what I think of.
You know, Max, I've been on in a lot of different time slots out here in L.A., and you know, you and I were on at the same time out here back-to-back for a lot of years. And and as I do the Laker games, you know, because I have both those jobs, I used to arrive at the arena at, you know, any imaginable time. If I was doing middays, I would get to the arena at noon. If I was doing afternoon drive, I would get there at 2:30 or 3. Whenever I got there, Kobe was already there. Right. He was already there working on his game, putting in the work, as you say. And LeBron, by the way, is much the same way. I mean, Kobe kind of lives in all these guys now because they were all on the Olympic team together, and you know, guys like LeBron and AD. You know, one of the really cool things of covering this title run for the Lakers in the Orlando bubble, I don't know if you saw it, was we had a game against Denver. It was one of the early games. It was game two or game three, and the Lakers were down two late. And it looked like the Lakers were going to lose, and Rajon Rondo threw an inbounds pass to Anthony Davis with no time on the clock, and he caught it, shot it, and made a three, and the Lakers won by one. And if you look at the close-up on Anthony Davis's face, the first thing he said was, Kobe!
Right, you know, of course. Yeah, yeah, these guys, like a generation guys, of kids did. A generation of people, you shoot the crumbled up paper into the waste paper basket. Kobe!
Right, and so he lives in these guys. And and what you saw last night, and what you're seeing really with this Laker team now, is that they took a page out of Kobe's book, and that is they're not going to get outworked. And that goes from Rob Pelinka down to Frank Vogel and everybody. They just have this, you know, kind of like you, this sick work ethic. From the time they get up in the morning until the time their head hits the pillow, they're grinding. And I think, you know, when LeBron has a game like he had last night, it's a result of him. You know, Max, you've heard the stories. He spends $1 million on his body, on conditioning, right, with trainers and cryotherapy.
Like Kobe
chambers.
Going to Germany to get experimental stuff on his knee. Whatever he needed to do, he does.
Right. And so you're seeing the next evolution of that with LeBron and these Lakers. And you put it a good way. You said, you know, LeBron is the latest custodian of it. But it started with Kobe, and he made an impression on all these guys that they're now carrying forth. And that's one of the reasons why the Lakers have the best record in the league and they're favored to win it again, is they still follow his lead.
And by the way, the rest of the country that's listening, if you're a Lakers fan or you want to know what's going on in L.A. sports, like more than anything, the Lakers make L.A. a town, a city. They connect everybody more than anything. And if you're interested, Mason and Ireland talk about all kinds of stuff, all kinds of sports, NFL. But if you want to know what's going on, the pulse of L.A. and the Los Angeles Lakers, check out Mason and Ireland, who've been on. How long have you been with Mace now on the radio, John?
Oh, wow. More than 20 years. I'd say we're like an old married couple now. Yeah. Our first show together was in 1994. I think we're the longest running sports talk show in the country.
Wow.
And we still have a lot of fun doing it. And one of the reasons why is covering this Lakers stuff. And right. And by the way, Max, I know you're taking calls today and people are talking about Kobe memories and you know, I remember when one time when Kobe was on your show, mm-hmm. and you had him booked for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and he stayed for an hour. Do you remember that? You took no breaks. You just went for an hour, and it wasn't just talking about basketball. You guys had a lot in common. You were both, as he liked to say, girl dads. You have girls. He had girls. You guys talked about that, and you know, Marcellus, who you were working with at the time, had a daughter, and you talked about the things that kind of drove him. And you can apply that stuff in everyday life, no matter what you're doing. That Mamba mentality you were talking about is something that, you know, you can extend to everybody. Rob Pelinka, who I give all the credit to, Max.
He did an unbelievable job, John. I was highly skeptical of the Pelinka hiring. He has done an unbelievable job. John, he got the details so right. They won the championship in the first year.
And Max, that's not even what I was going to give him credit for. If you can imagine that when this tragedy happened, we didn't know what to say or what to do. You know, those of us who worked for the team and with the team didn't know if it was okay to talk about this, if it was how we should talk about it. And Rob led us out of the forest. Rob and Jeannie Buss, who immediately came out and said, we're going to make it through this together. Kobe wouldn't want us to be sad. And Rob had the line that'll stick with me forever. He said, all of us are now torchbearers of their legacies of Kobe and Gigi. And by the way, Max, Gigi was a baller. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, she
check it out on YouTube, everyone. You know?
Yeah, I mean, she was on her way to UConn to do all that stuff. So one of the challenges today that guys like me and you have is to do that, be torchbearers of their legacy and talk about all the good things they brought. So this isn't a sad day.
I want to be
listening to your show and you're doing a good job of it.
I
I'm glad you are.
I was like, listen, you're making me aware of how the family feels today. So I want to be respectful of that. And I don't want to, you know, obviously I want people to share their memories of Kobe, because as I said earlier, when the Yankees came to town, it was either in Jeter or Rivera's last year, and they were playing the Angels. I took my 3-year-old at the time, Esther, to
She could say when she gets older that she saw Jeter play. I did that with my son too. Yeah,
I know. And how many people must have done that with Kobe Bryant, and aren't they glad they did that now? Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. You know, John. Meantime, LeBron James. Just getting on to like more current stuff.
Right.
Or the Lakers team right now. Anthony Davis really impressed me. He came on First Take and he said he challenged LeBron. This was last year he came on. He challenged LeBron to play defense, basically, last season. And I think LeBron, one of the keys to his longevity has been after Miami, he realized, okay, I can't play Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra defense all 82 games or however many games he plays, and then all postseason and go to the finals every year. I'm going to burn out. So he started picking and choosing when he played defense. But on this Lakers team, he's been, I think, a more consistent defender than he was on the Cavs team. And because AD and LeBron have set that tone on that end of the floor, this is a top five defense in addition to being a top five offense.
Max, top one. They're number one in the NBA in defensive efficiency. And very few people notice what you've noticed is that that's where they win games. And they play that old-fashioned defense where the guards, and LeBron a lot of times is running point for the Lakers, the guards will go right out on the other team's guards, get right in their face, and they don't worry about it if they get beat off the dribble, because Anthony Davis is standing at the basket like Shrek in front of a castle. You can't get around him. He has those long arms. I'm biased because I see him play every night, but I thought Anthony Davis was the defensive player of the year last year, and I think he's got a great chance to win it this year because, Max, he not only blocks a ton of shots, but he alters at least 5 to 10 shots a game where a guy will come in and realize, oh, man, AD's coming at me, and I'm going to have to either throw it higher or bend it around him, or you'll see it every game. And that's where, like, I'll give you an example. Last night, we're all talking about how great LeBron was. That game was Cavs by 1 at the end of the third quarter. The Laker defense in the fourth quarter held Cleveland to 19 points. LeBron scored 21 by himself. Right. LeBron outscored the Cavs by himself in the fourth quarter. And those are the things that people don't always notice, that Frank Vogel's a defense first coach. They play defense together. Anthony Davis prides himself in it, and they just lock people up. They lead the league, Max, in taking charges, which is not something you'd expect for a defending NBA champion. You would expect those guys to take it easy on defense. These guys just don't.
John Ireland of Mason and Ireland, the Lakers play-by-play voice, is on the Goodyear hotline right now. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. John, I think about AD and LeBron, and AD has a chance. He has a chance. Like, he has a lot of catching up to do. But given his individual skill set, given the numbers he's put up in his career, he might eventually be in the running for greatest power forward ever. He'd have to challenge Tim Duncan for that distinction.
Right.
In other words, guys who aren't exactly...
Maybe Carl Malone, depending on where you live.
Yeah, right. Malone, hey, Carl, you got to win a championship to be in this conversation. And by the way, you had John Stockton and Hornacek and a coach and a lot of years to do it. To me, you got to... But like, different than Malone, like Duncan, he's a hybrid 4-5. He's a shot blocker doing all that stuff. And he can play with it, like Duncan at least could play with his back to the basket. What I'm saying is, he and LeBron, given the chemistry they immediately developed, given I believe they're going to win another championship this year, when you talk about the great Laker duos, right? Magic and Kareem, amazing. They won 5, right? Shaq and Kobe only won 3, but Shaq and Kobe, those were at worst 2 of the 3 best players in the league, along with Duncan, and probably number 1 and 2 on the same team. Maybe that's never happened before. And I'm wondering where you've seen all these combinations of guys, these pairings. Where do you see LeBron and AD fitting in comparison to Kobe and Shaq and Magic and Kareem? Not for career accomplishment. They haven't done it yet. I mean, eyeball test, you're watching these guys.
Right. And Max, those guys, like AD, for example, is Tim Duncan 2.0. AD can guard all 5 positions on the court. A lot of people don't know this. When he was a sophomore in high school in Chicago, he was 6'1". He was 6'1". And he had a growth spurt. And between his sophomore year of high school and his freshman year at Kentucky, he grew 9 inches. So he has all the skills of a guard. He can bring the ball up. Duncan couldn't do that. He can guard. When you put the Lakers in defensive switches, AD can jump out and guard Jamal Murray. I mean, he can guard anybody. Duncan couldn't do that. And he still has the post moves that Tim had, and he has the rebounding that Tim had. So you're right in to say the potential for them to be Shaq and Kobe or Kobe and Powell is right there. I don't know if they'll win as much as those other duos did, but in terms of raw skill, AD and LeBron, there's never been a comp to LeBron, Max, in the NBA. That's size, right. Speed, power, not there. And to piggyback on your point about best power forward ever, I don't know if there's ever been a power forward. Giannis would be there if he could shoot, but at least yet he can't shoot, that has the combinations of skills that AD has, that can shoot outside, that can post up, that can play defense in all five positions, and has handle. He can dribble. He's got the opportunity at his age. The sky's limit is the limit on him. He really is an unbelievable player.
The funny thing is, and by the way, AD is the first guy I ever saw who kind of could almost guard the pick and roll by himself. He's like, how is he? He's so
long. LeBron, by the way.
Yeah, right. So that's it. That's where I was going with it. When you talk about, like, Magic Johnson was a super tall point guard, but he really was a point guard. He brought the ball up. He got you in the offense. I mean, he also played off guard early in his career, and you could kind of call him a forward later in his career. But he's a point guard and the greatest of all time. And Kareem was obviously a center. Kobe was a combo backcourt player, but a two guard. And Shaq was a center. LeBron and AD, when you just said, like, greatest threat, LeBron and AD are kind of both in the running for greatest power forward ever, but LeBron's also a small forward and also a point guard, and AD's also a center. It's like between the two of them, they can do every single thing you need to done on the court. Except, and by the way, not shoot great, but not shoot that badly either.
Well, to your point, last year they were both first-team All-NBA. LeBron led the league in assists, and AD was first-team All-Defense. Right. I mean, so their skills complement each other. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to win every game, that you need to have luck with injuries like you talked about before, and you know, you need to be playing well at the end of the year like they did last year. But this team they have around them, Max, do you know who the number one percentage three-point shooter in the NBA is right now?
Don't tell me KCP.
It's Alex Caruso. KCP's fourth, by
right,
the way.
Right.
Tomorrow night you're going to see three of the four. Seth Curry is number two. So tomorrow night, that's a monster game tomorrow night in Philly, by the way.
That's LeBron really effect. Fun. LeBron demands a lot of attention, commands it, and also he's the kind of player, if you give him another superstar like AD, and a guy like KCP or Caruso, anytime they hit a three late in the game, if you're a fan of the other team, you throw up your hands and go, well, I mean, if that guy's going to start hitting threes, there's no chance to win. Meantime, right, in Brooklyn, KD, James Harden, and Kyrie are together. What is the feeling that you have detected, have been around, what have you heard about the Lakers' disposition toward the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, I haven't, you know, obviously, Max, it's different now that I'm not on their plane. I'm not in their locker room like I normally am because of COVID. So I haven't talked to any of the players about it specifically. They tend to play their own ball. They tend to focus on themselves. But I'll just give you my opinion. I think that Brooklyn team is going to figure it out and get to the finals.
Right,
you know, show me a time where three of the top 20 players in the NBA all ended up on the same team and they didn't make the finals. Normally when that, I mean, look at Golden State, look at Miami, look at the Lakers with Worthy and Kareem and Magic.
Right, when they mess up, they lose to the Mavericks in six games. When they mess up,
right,
they don't repeat like the Celtics, like in the absence of another big three. They have a big three and no one else does, and two of them are MVP caliber, and Kyrie is not just an all-star. He's more than that. I agree, John. They're going to get there. So what happens once they do?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm biased because I get to see the Lakers play. The Lakers have played together for a year. They're a little more connected. I think that you brought up the Miami team that made it to the finals in their very first year. Remember, they lost to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Cleveland team, when LeBron went back, and it was LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie, they made it to the finals, but they needed a couple of years before they won it. I think the Lakers would be the favorite. But I would not poo-poo Brooklyn's chances because there's just so much firepower on that team.
Well,
they got to figure out the defense, and they got to figure out how to play together. But who's going to beat that team four times in seven games?
Right, well, the Lakers, I believe, and so do you,
right,
I think. But I'll say this about Brooklyn, and this is what people have to keep in mind. They have three superstars who can all get their own shot at an elite level, who can all score super efficiently from all three levels, from deep, from mid-range, if Harden ever chooses to shoot the mid-range, and clearly Kyrie and KD can, and in the paint, and from the line. These guys, offensively, if they ever get it together, will be unstoppable, and the best shooter on the team is none of them. That's Joe Harris, by the way. The great John Ireland, ladies and gentlemen, Mason in Ireland, check him out on ESPN LA. He is the play-by-play man for the Los Angeles Lakers on ESPN Radio. John Ireland, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Aaron Rodgers just made a statement on the Pat McAfee Show regarding some of the stuff that Brett Favre said yesterday. He didn't address the Favre stuff, but it's the same topic.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Dan Orlovsky, my old nemesis from First Take. He's on all morning talking all kinds of mess about football, and then we argue about it on First Take. ESPN NFL analyst. What's up, Dan?
What's up, bud? How are you, man?
Good, good. We're even now because Carson Wentz proved me definitively right, and then Tom Brady proved me definitively wrong. So, you know, we're back at the starting point. Dan, have you heard the Aaron Rodgers sound from the Pat McAfee Show yet?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I
texted Pat. I texted McAfee right away because I watched that. The Tuesdays with Aaron are, honestly, Max, my favorite thing that goes on in the week. And I work in the world, you know? And so I texted him right away when he talked about, listen, I didn't really say anything that I haven't said before. I don't plan on going anywhere. And I texted Pat, like, you don't say. Because yesterday I was on multiple shows. I'm like, man, Aaron Rodgers isn't trying to go anywhere, this and that. Right. And Pat was like, oh, my God, I should never know. And then it became a big uproar. And so – I think what Aaron kind of made it clear, like the reality is they did him no favors last year, right? We know this in the draft. They chose the Packers, really the future over the now. And I think what Aaron is doing is just being very intentional and being very smart with how he's saying, like, yo, right now you guys are going to do what I want. And I am going to have a say on this offseason. And guys like Corey Linsley and Aaron Jones, like, I want them here. And by the way, in the draft, like, I want you guys to give me what I want. And I think he's just doing a good job of using the media as a kind of quote-unquote power play.
So, Dan, talking to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Dan, I want to play the Aaron Rodgers sound now so people can hear it. Brett Favre. Yeah. Who's excellent on TV and radio, by the way. Brett Favre has some Charles Barkley in him. Like, he's going to tell you what he thinks. If he thinks Devontae Smith should go number one overall, which is crazy, he's going to say it. But the man's one of the all-time greats, and he has a point of view that's legitimate. And he said, no, he tried to give everyone insight. Pat, Aaron Rodgers ain't going anywhere. He's like, I know. He's talking about the emotions Rodgers was feeling in that moment and everything when he said his future's uncertain. Listen to what Aaron Rodgers said today to Pat McAfee.
Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP and, you know, we obviously made it another good run, I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
That's on the Pat McAfee Show on YouTube. Aaron Rodgers kind of like cleaning up, or did he? Like, to me, that sounds definitive. Like, Dan, to me, he's saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not in control of my own destiny. The team decides. Do you buy that, or do you think he's still leaving the door open?
No, I buy that, absolutely. I think he's just saying, like, listen, the reality is I'm under contract and the team made a decision last year and they took a quarterback in the first round. And yeah, I know I just had this MVP season and arguably the best I've ever had, but I don't know what they're going to do. And I think it's said with some form of sarcasm as well. Like I think that although he knows it would be absolutely moronic to move on from Aaron right now, that they technically could. And that's why he's saying, like, there's no absolutes. Just because it's stupid doesn't mean it won't happen. Just because it wouldn't make any sense doesn't mean that the organization won't do it. And so I think he's just very aware of what the situation is, but also putting it out there, like, just in case you guys are thinking about it, I'm going to make sure everybody realizes how stupid it would be if you guys chose, okay, we're ready to go to Jordan Love.
Well, they're not ready, but when they are, they're going to show him the door just like they showed Brett Favre the door when Rodgers was ready. And by the way, when I look at how LaFleur has done, now, Dan, it was a blunder. It was an all-time blunder to not go for it. You know, as well, okay, let's get into that. As Alan Hahn said on Bart and Hahn yesterday, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it's basically you make the decision to take the ball out of the best player in the league's hands. The guy's reigning MVP, or he's about to be. He's about to be the MVP and a Super Bowl champion. And instead of letting him try to win the game for you, you instead take the ball out of his hands and give it to the greatest quarterback of all time to try to beat you. Now, that, I think, makes the case well. But my point is this, Dan. He should have gone for it. You make the case otherwise in a second. Nevertheless, had it been fourth and one, he would have gone for it. Aaron Rodgers had daylight. Whether or not he scores a touchdown, he could get at least like the 1 yard line, 2 1 yard line, maybe something like that. And then they go for it. So like Rodgers, and in a series at the end of the first half, went three and out in the red zone from the something like the 8 yard line. And then again at the end of the game, didn't notice the daylight or opted not to take it. That would have changed things. His fate was in his hands, and he didn't do it. He didn't get it done. Meantime, LaFleur, Dan, last year or 2 years ago, 13-3, they beat Seattle in the playoffs. This year, 13-3, they come a couple plays away from going to the Super Bowl. They're on the right track.
Max, these are the days that you should be thankful I wasn't on First Take, because I'm going to absolutely rip apart this argument. Okay, so should Aaron or should Matt LaFleur have gone for it? You can make the justification that yes, man, like put the ball in his hands and lose because Aaron Rodgers wasn't good enough. But to say it was an absolute blunder or speak about it the way that people have over the last 2 days really like is like real misreading the reality of what the situation is three different ways. First of all, fourth and goal from the 8 yard line is almost an incredibly almost impossible to go and capture that, because especially near the end of the game when you have used up your very specific red zone calls, you need 8 yards, you can't get 19 yards. Like fourth and eight from the 40-yard line, you can design plays to lift off coverage.
It's a good point. The geometry has changed. Right.
So, like, that is such a small variance to try and get that conversion that it's a very difficult decision to make. It's not – everyone keeps saying it's fourth and goal. Yes, the fourth and goal from the eight, not fourth and goal from the
– LaFleur said, Dan, he said, we just had three downs. We got 0 yards. That's on Rodgers.
Correct.
But go ahead.
Mac, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going, because everyone has talked about the third and the fourth down. The third down, obviously, the no scramble, the fourth down decision. First down, he calls an RPO. And the defense says, hand it off. And Aaron's at the line of scrimmage, and he changes the route combination to Lazard and Devontae Adams. There's miscommunication. If he hands the ball off, A.J. Dillon's going to hit his face mask on the upright. Like, it's a touchdown. At worst, he's getting to the 1 or 2 yard line.
Right.
He throws it, there's miscommunication and completion. And second down is really the play, Max, that I think is huge and not getting talked about. Because,
by the way, Dan, you're very staticky right now, but the content is so good, I don't want to let you go. I want to hear what you have to say. Can you hear me?
Is that better?
Yes, much
better. Can you hear me
better? Much better. It was hard to hear, but keep going, please. This is excellent.
Okay, so then the third down that everyone's going, okay, he doesn't scramble. Second down, very similar formation for their offense and a very similar thing from the defense. The seam opens up to the right. Aaron Rodgers actually puts his foot in the ground and starts to run on second down, the very play before, and all of a sudden the pocket just collapses on him. Sue and Shaq Barrett just collapse on him. On second down, he throws it away. And I think the second down had tremendous impact on that third down, because that third down, you see, like, he wants to, but he's very hesitant. And I think he goes on second down going, wait, I just tried to leave, and I couldn't get anywhere. And I actually think that second down impacted his decision to not be more aggressive as a runner on third down. And the last thing I'd say is this, with the thought process of you're handing it over to Tom Brady in that Bucs offense. They took Cameron Brate scored to start the third quarter with 14 minutes to go left. 14 minutes left in the third quarter, he scored. After that touchdown, Tampa Bay had 28 plays for 106 yards and three turnovers. So to sit there and say, like, you're giving the ball, that offense had been stagnant. It had been bad. Green Bay's defense had been balling. They're one play away from
that. By the way, they did, and they
off.
Stopped them. They stopped them, in fact, and got a ticky-tack PI call go against them.
Right.
But then they missed a holding call. Worse, I know Jeff Schwartz, the offensive lineman for the Giants, who's retired now, was tweeting at me, no, it's in the rules. If you're underneath, they can put their arm around you. That's not what happened. Worf's got beaten on the play, hooked his arm around the defensive end, and rode him the whole way. It was textbook holding, and they missed that call. So, Dan, you make a very good argument for why it wasn't to blunder. It's not the right argument, but it's a good one. It's well argued. Don't take the ball out of the best player in the world's hands and hand it to the greatest player of all time to beat you, you know? But I agree with this. Dan and I see eye to eye on this. Rodgers had his fate in his own hands. He had his fate in his own hands. And he did not quite get it done. That was Breaking Moves with ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your memories of Kobe. Next, Stephen A. Smith goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com, and you can catch me every weekday on ESPN Radio and ESPN+, at 2 p.m. Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m., Barton Hahn at noon, and Shanae and Golic Jr. at 4 p.m. Eastern.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
We're going to hear your last take. We're sharing memories of Kobe. Bradley from Toledo, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? Can you hear me?
Go.
All right. Well, I just want to share, probably about 2010, me and a friend found some tickets last minute to go up to Auburn Hills. We live in Toledo, so it was about an hour and a half drive. It was last second. We only got to see three quarters because we got there late. And then Kobe hit a buzzer beater at the end of the game to send it into the fourth quarter to show, or into the overtime to show it's a full game. So I just want to thank him for that.
Thanks, Bradley. Zach from L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi. So in 2013... a friend of mine and I actually came on the Max and Marcella show, and we did a promo for Lexus Santa Monica with you. Mm. And I told you that my wife and I were expecting a baby a couple weeks later. And unfortunately, 4 months later in January, he passed away from SIDS. After...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was terrible. Thank you. And after he passed away, it was very hard to find... comfort and trying to move forward with life, obviously. Losing a child is something that no one should go through. Mm-hmm. But I remember a few months later, it was probably, I'd say probably March or April, I went to a game with a friend who had season tickets and actually knew Kobe sort of because he had been going to games for years. And so I went up to Kobe after the game with my friend and told him the story. And I could see, he gave me a hug because obviously being a father and being someone who loved his children tremendously, and you could see it. He felt a little bit
They're
of pain.
They're telling me we have 20 seconds left. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. And, you know, giving me a hug and just really, you know, saying, you know, he's an angel and he's looking over you. Just really, helped me realize that it's bigger than basketball. He's bigger than basketball.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss. And that is a heartwarming story about Kobe. He really was a family guy, and his heart went out to family. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.